Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Tuesday, 24th of May, 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. Background to that news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person tonight. The DHSC chief exec's gone now. The minister says it's unusual. Former Minister David Ashford, MHK, speaks out about his resignation. Why can't private buses help bus Vannin out? Who is the new airport director? And meet the Flying Farmers.
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, 29 minutes ahead of 6, the update news headlines. First to my Chanel Suku.
First to my. No cases of monkeypox have yet been recorded on the Isle of Man. However, public health is warning people to be alert, even though the risk remains low. The chief executive at the Department of Health and Social Care has stood down. Karen Malone handed in her resignation with immediate effect. The deputy chief executive of the Department of Enterprise is leaving government. Carl Hawker says he's taking a career break. Manx actor Joe Locke has been nominated for a National Television Award. The 18-year-old has secured a nomination in the Rising Star category for his portrayal of Charlie Spring in the Netflix series Heartstopper. In international news, a 14-year-old boy is being convicted of murdering Ava White in Liverpool in November. Another 14 cases of monkeypox have been detected in England, taking the UK total to 71. And supermarket prices are rising at their fastest rate in 13 years. Dog food and fresh beef are among the items going up most. Those were your headlines. News at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face to face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goromaya, thank you, Chanel. From the Ronald Way Met Office, there is a strong wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea at the moment. And a three-day weather forecast, dry and bright this evening, moderate westerly down to 9 degrees through the night. Well, there will be some rain late on in the night. And Wednesday, tomorrow will dawn wet and windy, Ukraine first thing, improving late morning with sunny intervals on a decreasing westerly. And we're up to 16 Celsius tomorrow. The overnight minimum 9 into Jerdain Thursday. Drizzly rain to kick off with. Clearing late morning, then sunny periods Thursday afternoon. Top temperature 15 degrees. Tides on the way back in. High waters at 9 minutes past 8 this evening. Sunset 29 minutes past 9. Low water 27 minutes past 2 a.m. Sunrise 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. And the morning high tide 27 minutes to 9.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and see a range of products from windows to doors, mirrors to splashbacks. Manxglass.com.
The chief executive of the Department of Health and Social Care has resigned from her position just months after accepting the permanent post. Karen Malone has left government with immediate effect. The details from Tessa Hawley.
Karen Malone has spent 24 years working for the Isle of Man government. In July 2019, she was appointed as deputy chief executive for the DHSC and in January 2022, the interim chief exec. Just 1 month later, government announced she'd accepted the role on a permanent basis. Her appointment came in the wake of COVID-19, the creation of Manx Care and a redesigned DHSC, and also amidst the Dr. Rosalind Ranson Tribunal. Ms. Malone gave evidence at the former medical director's hearing, which ultimately ruled that she had been unfairly dismissed for whistleblowing. In March this year and before the tribunal's findings, Ms. Malone told Manx Radio her department absolutely had to recognise the impact the employment tribunal had had, both internally and externally.
Of course it will impact on people's expectations and views of the service. It's the responsibility of the department and Manx Care to commit to being an organisation that does learn from mistakes, learn from criticisms, understand what has gone wrong. That's part of our duty of candour. So I think there is public confidence, and also demonstrating the worth of the department is really important.
So why, just months after taking up the chief executive role, has she resigned? Well, a statement from Ms. Malone says while she's enjoyed working in the public sector, an opportunity has presented itself which will enable her to pursue personal interests. Ms. Malone's departure follows the resignation of the former DHSC minister, David Ashford, the retirement of the chief secretary, Will Greenhow, and the exit of Carl Hawker, the deputy chief executive of the Department for Enterprise.
The island's former Treasury Minister and, as you heard, former DHSC Minister says he played no part in a decision to sack the former medical director. Douglas North MHK David Ashford delivered a statement to his political colleagues in Keys today after resigning from his post. It follows backlash after an employment tribunal found Dr. Rosalind Ranson had been unfairly dismissed while he was Health and Social Care Minister.
As far as I'm concerned, at all times I have acted appropriately and within the Government Code and Timbal Members Code. But ultimately, under the system of government we have, the minister is responsible for the department, whether they have been involved in a particular decision-making process or not. When something goes wrong within a department, ultimately it is the minister who must bear responsibility for that. Also, when a single minister becomes the centre of continual speculation that is drowning out all the rest of government's important messaging and is potentially seen by some others as a stumbling block to the much-needed change that must come, then whether or not that minister has acted appropriately becomes completely irrelevant. It was always clear that it was not going to be an instant change to change attitudes and behaviours that have been embedded for many years, even, dare I say it, decades. But what is fundamentally clear is this needs to be a watershed moment for government as an organisation. If people inside or outside this honourable house think that by changing a few individuals here or there that will bring about the change required, they are sorely mistaken, Mr. Speaker. As I have previously stated over the last few years in both this house and another place, culture is something that flows through an organisation like a river, running all the way from the top to the ground at every level, and every so often changing a few people at the top does not combat or resolve the issues. One thing that does not help with the challenge of cultural change is the divided nature of the department structure across government. It leads by its very nature to suggest to the public that ministers are all powerful and control every aspect of decision making of their departments, knowing and having approved personally of every decision made, large or small. When it comes to employment matters, ministers quite rightly must not involve themselves in day-to-day management and employment issues.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's Update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
Faster Mai, good evening. 22 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio. Questions have been raised about why the Isle of Man's private transport sector can't assist Bus Vannin to help avoiding cancellations. More than 100 bus services have been cancelled recently, and that's been blamed on a shortage of drivers. MHK Jason Morehouse says the issue is more than just that.
When you've actually got the need for bus drivers, when there's the training taking place and encouraging people to stay with Bus Vannin, that's important. But it's also equally important to ensure that the local services are there and people who need a bus have got a bus when they require it. And there have been so many cancellations recently, this really a concern. It seems to be more an issue with the timetabling than the actual availability of bus drivers. I know there was a particular figure given by the minister quite recently, but when you actually talk to the bus drivers, there does seem to be an emphasis on getting more and more routes out. And it's quite interesting that when the last timetable was updated several days ago, there's that clear emphasis on actually providing more services. And you think, is this the right thing to do? Especially when the cruise ship market's coming in and there's a question that's actually looking at that, how are we actually going to ensure provision for the cruise ships at the same time when local services need to be actually looked after? And I asked the minister a question on this 2 weeks ago, and he kind of was very reassuring that local services would be a priority. Last Monday, we had services being cancelled, and at the same time, there's at least one bus van in awaiting visitors from the cruise ship, and it's a difficult one. I recognise it's not an instant solution, but when people are seeing two things happening, we need to get clarity. We need to ensure that if it is a timetable that's wrong, that that is resolved and sorted out. Bus van in's got clear routes, they've got a clear timetable. They're aware when bus drivers are off, there's that possibility to have a relationship with tours. Whether or not it's actually using the tours coaches, the tours drivers, I'm sure there could be some negotiations that enable that bridge to be crossed and some solution resolved. Because at the moment, it's just a case that too many services are being cancelled and it's starting to impact on the reputation of the service, which was seen as a good, reliable thing on the island, and it's now a regular feature of island life that another bus has been cancelled.
And some breaking news from Update tonight. In the past few minutes, it's been announced the Executive Director of the Office of Human Resources is leaving her role with immediate effect. Claire Coney's departure will precede a review of OHR, the Office of Human Resources, that seeks to ensure the highest standards of professional practice are maintained. Claire Coney's worked for the Isle of Man government since 2003, holding a range of HR leadership positions until her promotion to Executive Director of OHR in 2021. The Northern Lighthouse Board has a new Isle of Man Commissioner, Dick Welsh, who received an MBE in 2020 for outstanding services to the maritime community, has been appointed to the role for a three-year term. The Northern Lighthouse Board is the general lighthouse authority for the Isle of Man and Scotland. It's just completed a fortnight of routine maintenance. Lachlan Gregg is one of the electrical technicians.
We maintain the lighthouses here on the island. We still come down here at least once, maybe twice a year, to do some planned maintenance on anything that needs to be fixed.
So what kind of thing are you fixing or looking at or taking care of?
Mainly just the gear that runs the lighthouses. Quite modern nowadays, but we still have some old filament lamps installed which require a bit of care and all the gear that goes into running them.
How do things work? So obviously Northern Lighthouse Board don't have a permanent presence here in the island.
No, we don't, but we still retain access to all the towers, but we tend to just get the ferry over and be here for about 2 weeks or maybe another 2 weeks in the summers.
So is everything managed remotely, i.e. a bulb blows, etc.? You know, obviously that's not the case. Yeah. But I mean, do you do that remotely or do you have someone in the Isle of Man if there is some kind of issue?
We have Fred Fox as our retained lighthouse keeper, which is a residual role from the times of the lighthouse keepers. And he visits the lights at least once a month and checks of overall condition of the light. But we have an external monitoring system that allows us to tell if there's any electrical faults. We get that reported in instantly and we can plan a trip to come down and remedy it.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Manannan, the high-speed craft, departed at 3 o'clock this afternoon from Douglas to Liverpool. She'll be there in the next 5 minutes or so, departing Liverpool at 7:15, back to Douglas tonight at 10 o'clock. Ben McCree departed Heysham at 3:15, later than normal this afternoon. She'll be back to Douglas at about 7 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow morning's departures, 7:30, Ben McCree to Heysham, 9:30, Manannan to Belfast.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Is it common to have so many key people resign from the Manx government at once? Well, the Health and Social Care Minister, Laurie Hooper, says it's unusual. Laurie Hooper spoke after it was announced his chief exec had resigned. Stuart Quayle, the current chief registrar, will assume the role of interim CEO. Mr. Hooper says the times are a-changing.
Yes, obviously I am. I think she was a very good fit, actually, for the department. She was definitely delivering on a lot of our priorities and pushing that kind of cultural change as well that we're also fond of these days, but it is definitely a loss for the department and Karen will definitely be missed.
You mentioned cultural change, obviously bullying is being mentioned. That's not the reason she's going, is it? She doesn't feel uncomfortable?
No, so what I mean by cultural change is we're talking at the moment about how the civil service, I think, should operate, and I think how we expect politicians to act as well, and to my mind the department as it is now and the department under Karen is an exemplar of that behaviour.
The public watching this, I think tribute was paid by Coldrick, who basically is acting chief secretary. There's an awful lot of actings about at the moment. Gives the government a bit of an insubstantial look.
No, I'm not sure about that, to be honest. I mean, I think we have seen quite a lot of change at the top over the last year. So a number of departments now have lost their full-time CEOs, have all retired or moved on to pastures new. And so we have a lot of people acting or interims. I think the key thing for government now
is
going to be
to... This is quite normal, you think, this sort of thing?
I think it's unusual to have so many at once. It would be my take on it, but I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. I think the key thing now is for all the various departments to get their heads together and actually go out and recruit properly, like we did back in January when Catherine left the department. We went out and did a proper recruitment. recruitment process to recruit lots of candidates in. Obviously, Karen was the best of the bunch. And I'd like to think that we'll run those processes all through again across government to make sure we have quite a transparent and open way of actually recruiting people to the highest level.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's a quarter to six. Sales at the owner of B&Q and Screwfix, Kingfisher, have slipped in the past 3 months. Yesterday, they shrugged off concerns that demand for DIY was waning by reasserting forecasts for this year. Kingfisher suffered a 5.4% decline in sales for its first quarter, and a bit of standout success during the pandemic. Sales leapt as people used lockdown savings to carry out home improvement and to renovate their living space to suit the switch to remote working. Thierry Garnier, the chief exec, said the group was facing very strong comparatives with the previous year and noted that its like-for-like sales were still ahead of the pre-pandemic performance. For a daily market report, go to RamseyCrookall.com. The UK has become European travellers' number one destination, leapfrogging Spain after 2 years of restricted movement. Bloomberg reported today that according to data from Mastercard Economics Institute, flight bookings are up from 59% below 2019 levels to 40% above pre-COVID period since the UK removed COVID-related travel restrictions in March. The UK is also the preferred destination for travellers from the Middle East and Africa. Travel restrictions were loosened this year in much of the world, aside from parts of Asia Pacific. The top five destinations for tourists globally: number one, the US; number two, the UK; number three, Switzerland; number four, Spain; and in fifth place, the Netherlands.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed lower as investors were rattled by fears of a looming recession. US stocks plummeted, oil priced higher, and gold firmed as the US dollar weakened. The numbers now at the close in London. Ramsey Crookall reporting the FTSE 100 closed down 0.4% at 7,484. The DAX in Frankfurt down almost 2% at 13,919. The trading day continues in New York City. Ramsey Crookall reporting the Dow Jones Industrial down just over 1% at 31,513. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 3% at 11,180. And the S&P 500 down almost 2% at 3,897. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently trading at $1.25.4, €1, €16.7, and 19 South African rand, €63.8. In commodities, gold up almost 0.9% at $1,869 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude is down 0.1% at $113.23.
I think Ellie's going to need some new school shoes.
Yeah, more money.
This is nothing. Wait till she wants to buy a car.
I know. We should be investing for a future.
We are. That's exactly why I took out the Shearwater investment account, because we can put in as little as £100 a month. It's just like saving. Perfect for building up a nest egg, for university, even buying her first house.
Oh, you're not as daft as you look, are you?
Invest in their future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
A new Isle of Man airport director has been confirmed. Gary Cobb takes up the post in August. Department of Infrastructure member MHK Tim Glover is keen to speak to Mr. Cobb as soon as possible.
If you look at his position before, he was at Highlands and Islands Airports there as the chief operating officer. That's a similar model, isn't it, with a regional airport and operating. So he's got plenty of experience. Before that, he was head of the airfield planning at Gatwick Airport. So he's worked at a much bigger operation than we have here at Ronaldsway. I know we weren't involved in the actual interviewing process. That's at officer level. But I'm told by them they had a very high caliber of people applying for this, and Gary Cobb has been chosen out of those.
He starts in August, so there is a little bit of time between now and then. What happens in the interim?
In the interim, it's still being run by the Chief Executive Officer at Infrastructure, Emily Curfee, and he obviously has to serve a notice period. We're hoping it might be a little bit quicker than August, but August is when his notice period finishes.
He doesn't come here till August, but have your department had any initial conversations with him about particular vision going forward?
That will have been part of the interview process. I'm keen myself to get to speak to him. I haven't as yet. The appointment's only just been announced this week, but certainly I will talk to him and see what we can do ahead of his arrival here.
What are the sort of things that you'd like to bring up with him for the future?
Well, I just think the airport is run down. It needs tidying up for a start. The car park has been one of the big issues, but it's small details as well. I'm glad to see that ahead of the TT, some of the other creaks that were going on within the airport have been turned around. For example, we had months where the escalator wasn't working going up to the departures. That is now working. We've got the car park working. There's a lot of work to do here.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
10 to 6, Fastermy, Rob Pritchard.
Fastermy, good evening. Starting tonight with cycling, and Manx rider Matthew Bostock will be hoping for double success later this evening in the finale of the sportsbreaks.com Tour Series. It's the grand final of the competition tonight in Manchester as the men's and women's teams battle it out across 1 hour and five laps on a 1 kilometre circuit in the Deansgate area, a route which is new for the 2022 series. Bostock is currently the men's sprint leader heading into this evening, whilst his team, with Sun God, remain as the overall men's leaders, but the final standings are yet to be decided. However, the women's class has already been decided heading into tonight's race. The Pro Noctis Rota Red Chili Bike squad will be crowned women's champions of this year's event at the end of proceedings. The women's race tonight is already underway and expected to finish at around 6:30 p.m, whilst the men's contest will get underway at 7:30 p.m. Turning to football, one more important week lies ahead, and this evening sees the remaining league fixtures of the season carried out. In the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Rushen United hosts St George's in a rescheduled fixture after it was postponed last week due to a waterlogged pitch. Meanwhile, one game also in Division 2 has already promoted Malou host Jims. There's also a solitary fixture in Canada Life Combi 1 as Douglas High School All Boys take on Union Mills at Union Mills. All three games are scheduled to kick off tonight at 6:30 p.m. And finally, sticking with football, an Ireland firm has agreed to continue assisting the grassroots game on the Isle of Man. Car dealership Jackson's has announced they and the Isle of Man FA have agreed a further 3-year deal for their Driving Youth Football Forward partnership. Jackson's has been supporting the youth system locally since 2019, with initiatives including the Under-18 Football League and helping with the growth of junior girls football.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, the 755 inbound from Liverpool, the Logan Air returning patient transfer plane is scheduled on time. The 8:05, Logan Air from London City scheduled on time. The 8:30, EasyJet from Gatwick at the moment is delayed till 10 o'clock tonight. Outbound, the 5:35 EasyJet to Liverpool went on time. The 6 o'clock Logan Air patient transfer plane is on time. But that delayed EasyJet back to Gatwick instead of 9:05 will be 10:30 tonight. On the roads, a section of Mill Road, Peel's closed near the power station for pipe work. In Laxey, still that bottom end of Minorca Hill closed between Glen Road and Lower Cronkory for the new surface water drainage pipes. The Doon Loop Road's closed for laying of replacement water mains. In Douglas, Howarden Avenue is closed. Howarden Avenue Lane is closed for scaffolding works. In St John's, you've got temporary lights 24 hours a day between St John's and Ballylease Bridge for stone wall repairs. Temporary traffic lights on Upper Prom in Port Erin for service connections and resurfacing work. In Castletown, still Castle Street one-way northbound for building work for the next 11 months at least. And also in Castletown, Malou Street is closed near Ellerslie Gardens Junction for sewer work.
The only electric and hybrid vehicle service centre with 24/7 charging points. Get more with Quayside.
A group of flying farmers has visited the Isle of Man to observe how farming is carried out on the island. Who went to meet them? Phil Gorn.
The Isle of Man hosted a visit from the Flying Farmers this weekend. The farmers had an extensive programme on the island, meeting with DEFA Minister Claire Barber and visiting a variety of sites around the island. I caught up with them at Craig Naish and spoke to Neville Sharps.
I help run the events. We've been established since about 1974, when there was about six, eight members that did a visit. And in obviously 2 years' time, 24, it'll be our 50th anniversary. We've now got just over 400 members within the association. The average age group is probably between about 69 and 72 years old. It was first established in 1974 when a group of farmers got together, that were flyers as well, to have a look at other farms and see how other things were done on other farms. And it's really progressed from there.
And impressions of the Isle of Man so far?
Excellent. The hospitality's been superb. The visits that we've had so far, we've only been here for 24 hours so far, or 48 hours so far. But no, it's excellent. Pity about the rain yesterday, but from what we gather, it only rains for about half an hour at any one time.
And as a farmer, it's obvious that you are going to complain about the weather, because it's either going to be too wet or too dry.
Farmers always complain about the weather. It's never there at the right time when you want it. We're always desperate for rain, as we are in England at the moment. And as the years have gone on, obviously with climate warming, etc., it's getting harder for water.
Barclays is celebrating its 100th anniversary on the Isle of Man. Throughout the decades, Barclays has supported the Isle of Man's economy, worked closely with established and emerging businesses, as well as providing banking for personal and private banking customers. First opened 29th of May 1922. Barclays is celebrating its centenary with a customer event and a plaque unveiling at the Douglas branch this Friday, where you'll be able to view a selection of memorabilia from Barclays in the Isle of Man over the years. And the capital is going to be turning blue over the weekend, with the prom, town hall and all of the town centre illuminated in a Barclays blue-coloured light. Anybody mention Martin's Bank, by the way? That's it for Update. Back tomorrow night at 5:30. Thanks to newsreader Chanel Suku.
W-I-N-T.